Welcome to Off the Court, presented by Point Guard U. Today, we are joined by Coach Lauren Botha. Lauren, we're super excited to have you on. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll get right into it. For our audience that might not know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your title, and how you got into the coaching position you have now?
Yeah, so I am the varsity girls basketball coach at Fishers High School in Fishers, Indiana. We're a school of about 3,900 students. And I have been at Fishers High School for 15 years. I coached for one season at a neighboring school. Actually, for my high school head coach, she gave me my start in coaching. And then I jumped over to Fishers High School, and I was served as a JV coach and an assistant coach for 8 years. And then this is my seventh season now as the head coach of this program.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Can you kind of speak to your coaching philosophy? If you could maybe sum it up in a short elevator pitch, who is Coach Lauren? And what do you stand for? What makes Coach Lauren, Coach Lauren?
Well, I think that, first of all, I really value the culture aspect of coaching. So I believe that I want our players to feel known and valued every day, but to also strive to be excellent. You know, our goal is to compete for the conference and a sectional title every year. And so, you know, it's that balance of, like I said, making them feel known and valued for who they are as people, but also striving them to be their best on the court.
That's awesome. I love that. And I think in culture, there is a underlying, anytime I hear the word culture, there's this underlying tone of excellence, and it comes with expectations. And a lot of that can be given from coach. But I think to have true excellence, it has to also, to an extent, some of that leadership has to come from the players. And, you know, from our conversation we had before hopping on, I know you're big with player-led leadership. Can you kind of speak to how that fits into your style of coaching and how you go about giving players chances to be leaders?
Yes. So I think that, you know, we're really big on servant leadership in our program. And so the first thing that we, you know, we really have to emphasize is that no one player is bigger than the program. Really, you know, it starts at the top with our seniors. And we talk about this idea of servant leadership and being humble and doing what you can to find opportunities to help your teammates out. And I think that's, you know, the main thing that we teach is that servant leadership. But then we do have a leadership council that meets four times in the fall. And we do some pretty significant leadership training. So we talk through scenarios and we, you know, we discuss different principles. This year, we discussed the book Good to Great. And we talked about what that looks like on the court. And so it's having intentional conversations, I think, about it. And then also just when we see opportunities to coach them up, whether that's, you know, our point guard I need our point guard to be more vocal. So I have to tell her that I need her to be more vocal. I can't expect her to learn it. And so I think the biggest thing with leadership is really as a coach, you have to tell them what a good leader looks like. And you also have to show them. And so, you know, as coaches, we have to model that servant leadership as well.
That's awesome. Now, and you say, as a coach, we have to model that leadership. And we also, I mean, there's a lot of hats coaches wear nowadays. You know, for some of these, you may be a parent figure for them. You may be their first authority figure. It might be more of a role of a mentor, you know, and even that mentor role might even cross off the court and head into maybe the classroom. You know, I think when I think of old school coaches, I think of a coach that maybe didn't care about the whole athlete and just was caring about winning. When I think of a coach in today's day and age, I think of a coach who does wear all those hats and has to be focused on more than just on the court behavior or performance, but off the court behavior in the classroom. How do you as a coach make sure your athletes are not only excelling on the court, but also in the classroom?
Well, I'm, first of all, very, very fortunate here in that most of our student athletes are outstanding in the classroom because they want to be and because that's the expectation set on them by their parents. You know, we obviously, as a coaching staff, we run a weekly grade check, and we have some systems in place here at Fishers High School that really help too. So if an athlete is struggling, there's a specific space they can go to during a free period and they can get some extra work done. And so there's supports in place for us. But I think the biggest thing is having conversations with the players and staying on top of it. So if we notice that a player is slipping in their grades, it's making sure that they understand, like, hey, what's going on? How can we make this better? But really, we're super fortunate that our kids are pretty highly motivated. And they also know that, you know, if they're not getting the job done in the classroom, then, you know, we've done things in the past, such as more in the off season than in season. But, you know, if they have missing assignments that are piling up, then they can't come to practice, or they can come to practice, but they have to sit in the bleachers and do their homework. And so I think as a coach, it's making sure that you actually follow through and making sure that the players understand that if they aren't doing what they need to do, you will help them, but there are going to be consequences for that.
Yeah. And I think it helps too. You kind of spoke to like the culture of the school. I think being at a school where doing well in school academically is normal or expected or cool, yeah, if you will, is it definitely an advantage. You know, I've been to, as a student in differing schools, I moved, and, you know, one of the schools, it was very much like, you know, and I've also, as a former teacher, former high school basketball coach, I've seen it from a teacher's perspective of like, where, you know, at one school, it's very cool to do well in school. And then at another school, uh-huh, it's like cool to not do well. So yep. I think, yeah, a lot has to do with culture of the school, but I think even still, you know, kids are kids. So I think it's important that they have that leadership. I think it's awesome. Now, keeping in mind our audience that would be listening to this podcast, we have camps all the way across the country. We got a lot of kids who are maybe feel like they're on the outside looking in on their team. Maybe they're on, you know, 10th kid on the bench or on the team. They're, you know, feeling like, man, what can I do to get coach's attention? What can I do to get some more playing time? From the coach herself, what advice do you have to say to a kid maybe at Fishers who's hoping to see the court more?
Well, I think first of all is, you know, that player needs to make sure that they are doing everything that is expected every day. So, you know, as a coach, I'm going to put the kids on the floor who I can trust. And so that trust means that, you show up early. That trust means that, you know, you listen to directions and you do the drill right the first time. That trust means that I can trust you to be a great teammate. So I believe that, you know, when you're on the bench, I know that you're not going to be pouting. I know that you're going to be engaged in what's going on. You're going to be cheering your teammates on. And that if I look down the bench and I see you, and I see you engaged in the game and know what's going on, I'm more likely to put you in the game. I think, you know, controlling what you can control is really important. I think that sometimes, you know, when you're that 10th player sitting on the bench, it's really easy to play the comparison game, but you have to ask yourself, like, what can I bring? What is my thing that coach is going to see? And maybe it's not a skill thing, right? Maybe it's that your coach can trust you to go in and you're going to communicate. And, or maybe it's, you know, in a situation where the other team is playing a zone and you can knock a shot down, right? So it's what you have to, my advice to them would be like, figure out what your niche is and then really try to excel at that. The last thing I'll say is coaches love players that defend and rebound. You know, for me, if I have a player that will defend and rebound, they're going to earn a lot more playing time than a kid that that doesn't want to do that and who only cares about the offensive end.
Yeah, I think you said it well, like someone that you as a coach can trust, you know, someone that you know that when you put them out there, they're going to want it just as bad. You can't want it more than a kid that's going to go in the game, or you can't have to remind them of the simple things, the boxing out, playing defense, the hustle stuff. The heart, it's got to be a non-negotiable. I think, you know, defense, rebounding, communicating, those things. I mean, shots, you can't always control whether or not a shot goes in. But those things that are in your control, I think, like you said, they need to be something a coach can trust. Mm-hmm. So very well said. Now, in this day and age of coaching, I think we talked about how different it is for a modern coach and all the hats you have to wear. I think it's also very different in the way that you have to handle parents. You know, I think an old school coach would maybe say, parents, you stay over there, let me coach the kids. And I think, you know, whether it's on the parent side of the coach, I think more so recently on the parent side of maybe some, we've had some parents that have maybe given a bad name for parents, you know, and overstepped boundaries, maybe a helicopter parent. But I think at the end of the day, there's a lot of parents that, you know, mean well and want involvement. How do you as a coach find a happy medium, a balance between parents feeling like they have involvement while also allowing the kids to independently grow and maybe face some of the challenges that come from, you know, playing athletics?
I don't know. My phone started ringing.
No, you're good. Do you want me there to read? I can redo that question if you want.
No, we're good. I got it.
Okay, cool.
Unless you need to ask it again so he can edit it out.
Okay. We can edit. We can go for it from there.
So, for me, I'll just kind of tell you what I say at our parent meeting. I really encourage our parents to wear the parent hat. You know, we talk about how there are different roles in the game of basketball. There's the player, there's the coach, there's the official, and there's the parent. We really talk with our parents about that importance of being the parent and letting the player play, the coach, and the official officiate. And I know that in our program, we hold our parents to pretty high standards. I tell our parents that I want them to contact me regarding any issue that their child has mentally, emotionally, socially, or spiritually. If there is something going on that we as a coaching staff can help them with, I want to know that. If there's an issue within our program, that something's going on in the locker room or whatever, like I need them to contact me. But when it comes to X's and O's and playing time, that needs to be a conversation between the player. And I would tell players that are listening, the same thing. You know, if you want to have a conversation with your coach, you have that conversation, because it just goes a lot. It goes a lot better for a couple of reasons. First of all, the player is at practice every day, and the player knows what goes on at practice. And so, we just really encourage our parents to not talk to us about that. If they absolutely feel that they have something that they need to say, we ask that they wait 24 hours. In order to just calm down before they say something. And, overall, I think that has really worked. But I think, you know, as a coach, the most important thing for me is that relationship between me and the player. And so that's why I really encourage our kids to talk to us and let us handle the conversation, because that typically just goes a lot better than it does with the parents.
Yeah, I like that. And honestly, as a former coach myself, that 24-hour rule it saved me at least once. When, uh-huh, you know, you're put on the spot as a coach, it does give you that out. Yep. Hey, right after the game, hey, with all due respect, we have a 24-hour rule. I would love to have this conversation with you tomorrow. Yep. And it does help. And if anything, it can lead to coach safety. It helps with that, definitely. So reflecting on your coaching career, is there any one, you know, specific moment or achievement that stands out to you as more memorable or more rewarding?
Last year we were fortunate enough to play in the state championship game. And so we lost, but that whole journey was just really great. And we had virtually the same team from the year before. And the year before, we lost in the sectional championship. And so being able to kind of spend the entire off season with that same crew, and then to see them come together and make a run all the way was very memorable. But I think also the first sectional championship that we won when I was a coach, we had upset Hamilton Southeastern. They were the defending state champion, and that was also very memorable. But I think probably last year's run was the best.
That's awesome. Yeah, when I was in high school, I went to a state championship, lost by 2 points. And honestly, I feel like sometimes, and I've talked to another coach about this too, that like sometimes the losses or the harder things can actually take you further in life from the lessons learned. And I think there's something to be said for the kids that were on that team. I'm sure that probably resonates with you.
Yeah, for sure.
It forces, let's just say it forced me to have a dose of humility I wouldn't have had had I had a ring on the finger. So.
Yep.
But yeah, that's awesome. So how we end these podcasts is we have a segment called Full Court Press, where it's some quick hitting, lighter hearted questions. And we'll kind of see how you do. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. I'll give you a softball to start. Favorite color?
Red.
Good choice, coach. Good choice. favorite cereal?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Okay. Now, is it milk before cereal or cereal before milk?
Oh, cereal before milk.
Okay, good. I put that question in there just to make sure I'm not talking to a psychopath. The podcast would have ended if you answered the other way.
Okay, great, great.
Favorite movie of all time?
Oh, man. I think I got to go with Hoosiers.
I love it.
I just love it.
I just rewatched Hoosiers just last week. It's a classic. Would you rather give up appetizers or desserts for the rest of your life?
Oh my gosh, appetizers. I could not do dessert.
Great choice. Appetizers is just a select part of the menu. Desserts, there's an entire industry on desserts. I know. Best Gatorade color?
I like the Gatorade Frost, the blue.
Okay, good choice. Best player you have ever played with or against?
Yeah, that's got to be Sydney Parrish. She's at Indiana now. And she was phenomenal. I had the good fortune of coaching her, up until she was in eighth grade. And, she was tough to play against in high school.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Loudest crowd you've ever played in front of?
I'm going to have to go with the loudest crowd I've ever coached in front of. And that would be in the sectional semifinal last year. It was a double overtime thriller, against the Noblesville Millers. And they are the ones that had eliminated us the year before. I believe there were over 4,000 people in the stands, and just how cool for our kids to get to play in front of 4,000 people in a high school gym. So that was awesome.
That's insane. That's awesome. So coach, before we wrap up, what can we expect from Fisher's basketball this year?
Well, I think we return a lot of players from the team that went to that state championship. I think we're going to look a little bit different. We did graduate some seniors, but I think you can expect, so far, this is through 5 games. I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen a team that is getting better every night. Defensively, we're growing a lot. I think offensively, we're trying to figure out some new roles, but I'm excited. This is a crew that they are hungry to do the little things right. And I think that takes you a long way. So I'm excited to see where we can go.
I love that. Well, you'll have to send a live stream link over our way. We'll have to have the point guard U team catch a game or two. And if I'm down in the area, I'd love to come see a game. So
love it.
Thank you so much for coming on, Lauren. It was a pleasure, and wish you all the best this season.
Thanks so much for having me.